Hi, I'm Kathleen Maxwell-Ramby with The Gathering, bringing God into everyday life. Thanks for listening, and I hope you will enjoy this lesson. And remember, don't just listen, partner with God and practice it. If you love this podcast, I'd like for you to consider becoming a patron. Your donation keeps them coming and are appreciated to cover the cost. To give, simply click the button that says Become a Patron or Patronage. You can give a one-time gift or a monthly gift of $1, $5, $10, $25, $50, whatever your heart desires. And I do want to give a shout out to my monthly donors for this month: Mary Mitchell-Stein, Kyla Melissa Johnson, Deanna Caraway, Laura Jane Elder. And I also want to give a special thanks to Joanne English. We now have listeners in over 19 countries, so I really appreciate their support. My heart is to share my life experiences and stories of how God wants to be a part of our everyday lives through my real life experience with Him and share His Word. I want people's hearts to be changed, healed, encouraged, set free, and strengthened as they listen. So I've chosen not to charge for podcasts, as I know some cannot afford it. And yet, I trust God to speak to those that can. Also, if you enjoy today's message, click the button and leave me a comment. I love hearing from my listeners. And click the button that says follow, and that way you'll get immediate updates every time I upload a new podcast. Thanks for listening, and you can always contact me at KathleenMaxwell1@gmail.com. And remember, God wants to be a part of your everyday life. Hi, everyone, and welcome to The Gathering. I'm excited to share with you today just a message that I hope will bring you just some hope and encouragement in this season that we're in. And the title of my message is Waiting for the Clouds to Break. So I have a question for you as we begin. Where are you? I mean, are you in a low spot? Are you in a difficult situation with the economy and finances? Are you just trying to keep your head above the water of the raging COVID storm? Maybe you're feeling alone and caught in the waves because we're being tossed to and fro, and we're doing things one way one day, another way the next day. The rules change. Oh my word, that is, I think, the thing that is a struggle for me. Maybe you're struggling with kids at home and having to homeschool, or just all the uncertainty of the pandemic. Or perhaps you're fighting COVID-19 physically. I sure hope not. Or struggling with fear. I know that I've had a number of listeners contact me that are really struggling with fear with everything. And I wanted to share a passage that I memorized years ago when I was in a dark place and was waiting for the waves of the storm to subside. It's found in Psalm 130, and so if you have your Bible, you might want to grab it. The good news that I can go ahead and share with you is the clouds did break and the sun did shine again. But in the meantime, there was a waiting period. So I personally think all of us are in a waiting pattern right now with the pandemic. We're waiting to go back to work, waiting for a new job, waiting for, you know, the government to release the next plan for opening, waiting for our new normal, whatever that is and is going to be, and then it's probably going to change in 3 or 4 days anyway. There's lots of things. I think people are just waiting and, again, uncertain about. So what do we do in this waiting period? Well, one thing that I have found in my own life and in my own struggles is that God is in the waiting. And I also have a podcast that is called God is in the Waiting, and it goes into some more detail. But for today's message, I really do just want to focus on Psalm 130 and spend time with that. So let's begin reading. And it says, "Out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord. O Lord, hear my voice. Let your ear be attentive to my cry for mercy." You see, the psalmist was in a dark place, and I think he was verbally processing where he was. He was trying to figure it out, and I really get that because I'm a verbal processor. I really process things. I need to talk about them to understand and figure out what I really feel and want to do. And so when I read this passage, it just jumped out to me because I just thought, yeah, that's me. And I loved how the psalmist was pouring out his heart to the Lord. And I'll have to say that, you know, for a number of years, I didn't do that. I didn't tell God how I really felt because I was afraid, you know, I needed to have my act together. For some reason, it was just a thought process that I had that God wanted to rearrange. And, you know, God is a safe place for us to pour our hearts out. Especially in times like these, when we're living on top of each other and in close quarters because we can't go to school and go to work and do all the things that we normally do. But God is the one safe place. Our spouse may not be, our kids may not be, or we don't have friends around like we normally do. God is the one safe place we can go and really, truly share our hearts. And I remember the first time that I really felt like I shared my heart with God. I was in my mid-30s, and something was going on, and I was really angry with God. And I remember standing on my back porch and my back deck, and it just came out of my mouth. I said, God, I'm so mad at you. And when I said that, I was almost shocked at myself, but it just like came out. And I really kind of held my breath and waited. I thought, oh my word, lightning is going to strike, but it didn't. And when it didn't, it was just like I felt the Lord's tender compassion towards me. And I felt like Him say, it's okay. It's okay. And I broke into tears. And so I want to encourage you that God is the place that you can go and pour out your heart, whatever it is that is your frustration, that is troubling you deep in the depth of our soul. And I think sometimes it takes us a while. Sometimes it takes me a while to really identify what's going on in my heart. I may be frustrated because my goal has been blocked and I spent 45 minutes waiting on the phone and trying to get a bill issue resolved. And I really got so frustrated with that. And afterwards I thought, what is wrong with me? That's not me. Why did I respond like that? And, you know, there were some internal things that I had to really look at with the Lord. So sometimes we can have things going on in our heart that we haven't even identified. But Psalm 130 is just so clear. Out of the depths, I cried to you, O Lord. O Lord, hear my voice. Let your ear be attentive to my cry for mercy. I think, you know, my conversation goes something like this. Seriously, Lord, I don't think I can take this much longer. I know you love me, but I'm really tired of all this. And I remember saying those words years and years ago when I was in the middle of taking care of my mom, who had a rare autoimmune disease she battled for 9 years. And about 6 years into it, my husband got sick and battled cancer and died 9 months later. And then about 6 weeks after losing him, my dad's health failed. And it seemed like a never-ending season of just one hurdle after another. Oh, and in the middle of all that, around when my husband died, I had a mammogram that came back questionable, and I had to have further tests on it. And so that was another thing looming and that I had to wait on, because I was actually at MD Anderson when my results came back, and I couldn't take care of myself at that point because I was dealing so much with Joe. But oftentimes in times like this, you know, we can just lose sight of what God wants to do in our hearts in the waiting time. And the bottom line is we're going to have adversity here on earth. We just are. But we get to choose how we're going to walk it out. In John 16:33, it says, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have trouble. But take heart, I have overcome the world. And right there, that chapter is so clear that we're going to have trouble in the world. Life on earth is going to have its challenges and its adversity. And we're certainly going through this right now as a world with the pandemic. So, I think the first thing we do when we find ourselves in these waiting time periods and in times like these is we pour out our heart to God just like the psalmist did, just like he did. And the second thing that I think is important for us to do is to keep our heart right. Keeping our heart right in hard times is important because we don't have time to have a heavy, bitter, angry heart. And that's what happens. Bitterness and anger sets in oftentimes when we don't keep our heart right. And what I mean is found in Psalm 130, verses 3 and 4. And it says, and I'm reading to you out of the Message version of the Bible, it says, "If you, God, keep a record of wrongdoings, who would stand a chance? As it turns out, forgiveness is your habit, and that's why you are worshiped." You know, God forgives us, and He doesn't hold anything against us. And when we mess up, it's important that we run to Him, that we run to God, and that we acknowledge that. "Lord, I was angry at my husband. Please forgive me. Lord, I am, frustrated or mad at the president right now, the government, my boss." You can fill in the blank. We all have had people that have hurt us or let us down in a way or betrayed us or disappointed us. And oftentimes that can lead, if we're not careful and deal with our hearts quickly, it can lead to bitterness and unforgiveness. And it's important that we run to God and confess our sins, whatever it is that we've done that has gone against what His Word says. But it's important that we forgive others too. And that's not a one-time deal. Somebody can offend you, and you may have to forgive them 50 times before your heart is really free. And what I mean is, in that aspect, is you can say, "Okay, I choose as an act of my will to forgive. Now, God, change my heart." And maybe you walk free for about 3 or 4 days. And then that fourth day, that video of what happened, that where you felt wronged, is replayed. And at that moment, when you pick it up and start playing with that offense again, what happens is that's another opportunity that you need to forgive. And it's not that you're not trying. I just think oftentimes forgiveness is a process. And what I love about forgiveness is I can choose. I cannot feel like it, but I can choose as an act of my will, because I know it's a godly principle that is going to set me free. And so I choose as an act of obedience to do it because God said so. But I also then look to Him to change my heart. And I think for so long in my life, I was trying to change my heart and I just couldn't do it. And so let me just encourage you, when you make that choice to forgive, because that's what Scripture tells us, then give your heart. Just say, "Lord, I look to You to change my heart." And I promise you that He will. It might be a process, but I promise you that He will. And, I remember, just to give you an example, I remember a time in our lives where we had sold a business that we had, and we owner-financed it for the couple that bought it. And they bought it, and they began to grow really fast, and we went to them and expressed our concerns, just because we had run the business for, a decade and a half, and we went to them and expressed that, and they didn't really listen to us, and they kept doing what they were doing, and then they declared bankruptcy. And all the money that we were getting from the sale of that business was to go towards our college, our kids' college education. And what was, I was really upset when they declared bankruptcy, because I was like, this is not just about me, it's about my kids. This is what we were depending on to help them get through college. And the Lord just kept speaking to me and saying, Kathleen, you know, keep your heart right, keep your heart right. And I knew what he meant. And I knew I just had to keep forgiving them over and over again. And every time I get mad or angry, I would just choose to forgive them as an act of my will. And the rest of the story is, several years down the road, my oldest son ended up getting a full scholarship. He went to the Naval Academy, and so all of his college education was paid for. And then our daughter, 4 years later, ended up getting a four-year scholarship to Texas A&M, and her education was paid for. Now, my youngest son, he had a few, you know, a few scholarships. I had some life insurance money at that time, just a little bit, and that I could put towards his education. But he also is a petroleum engineer and was in a place where he could quickly, you know, or pay back his student loans. And so God really, and I have no doubt God is going to richly bless him, but God provided in a way. It just didn't look like the way I was thinking things would happen. But I do think a big key was keeping my heart right. And for both of us, my late husband and I. And so my question to you is, are you quick to forgive? Because unforgiveness doesn't make you look pretty. And I think it's real important that we keep short accounts with our kids, with our spouse, with our friends. You know, just even road rage, driving down the road and someone cuts you off and is insensitive to you and scares you. I think even stopping right then, that happened to me not too long ago, and I had to just, you know, irritated me, and I had to just say, Lord, I choose to forgive that person. I don't know why they're driving like that, but you do. And Lord, bless them. Bless them and keep them safe. And so I just want to encourage you. God doesn't keep a record of wrongs, and forgiveness is his habit. I think we need to make forgiveness a habit. And forgiveness keeps us humble. And above all, too, I just want to encourage you, forgive yourself. Sometimes we can be the hardest of all on ourselves. And whenever we mess up or fail or say something or do something that we just know better than, we have to forgive ourselves sometimes. And I know I've had to do that numerous times because I don't really like to make mistakes. And I try real hard not to. And when I do something stupid and I'm like, what was I thinking? I think, you know, what God has shown me is that I have to forgive myself. So let me just encourage you with that. But let's keep going. I think the third thing that's important in the waiting time period is to wait on God, not just wait, but wait on God and put our hope in Him. Psalm 130, verse 6 says, I wait for the Lord, my soul waits, and in His word I put my hope. And wait in this passage means to bind, to twist, to expect, or collect. And so that's not wasted time. In times like this, we need to bind ourselves to the Lord, our soul, our mind, which is our mind and our will and our emotions. We need to bind that to the Lord. And just, you know, Lord, I look to you in this waiting time period and ask you to work things in me and work things out of me. And that word wait, which means to bind or twist, when you think about twist, it means to make stronger. Think about a rope and what that looks like. And this waiting time is also a time to collect and expect things from God. And we need to collect things we're going to need for the next season of our journey. And our expectation needs to be in Him. Because I'm telling you right now, it can't be in anything else. Doctors can't agree on how to, do you wear a mask? Well, you do today, but you don't tomorrow. Well, no, then you do need to again today. Doctors can't even agree. people in the government can agree. Things are changing. With this pandemic, I think it has really shown us, or what it's shown me, is in a greater degree, God is the only one I can ever really depend on. And this is when I think, you know, as we wait on God, this is when our faith comes into play and our expectations in Him. And we put our hope in Him. And so waiting on God is what is going to help you weather the storm, I feel like. If we're just waiting, we can feel like we're wasting time. What on earth are we doing? I know I have just a personality where I hate to waste time. But when I commit it to the Lord, and I talked a lot about committing things to the Lord last week, and wait on Him, then the time isn't wasted because I'm partnering with Him. And it says, as I continue on in Psalm 130, verse 6, it says, I wait for the Lord more than the watchmen wait for the morning, more than the watchmen wait for the morning. And that, you know, when you think of someone watching and someone being on guard and on duty, and they're waiting for the morning, they're waiting for the morning light to come, they're waiting for the storm to subside. That's eager anticipation and confident expectation that God is going to do something. Psalm 27, verses 13 and 14 says, I remain confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord, be strong, and take heart, and wait for the Lord. I love that passage. I even wrote it down a date in my Bible when I first read it because I thought, I'm going to see if this really happens. This passage says, I'm not just going to see God's goodness when I get to heaven. It says, I'm going to see His goodness in the land of the living. And I can tell you now, and that date is, you know, been over 10 years ago, I can tell you now that I've seen His goodness in numerous, numerous ways. So why should we put our hope in God? You might be saying, well, Kathleen, my prayers haven't gotten answered. I feel like God let me down. Well, sometimes we can feel that way, and I understand. I think in part what you're saying, because there have been prayers that didn't get answered the way I thought they should or wanted them to. But Psalm 130 verse 7 says, Israel, put your hope in the Lord, for with the Lord is unfailing love, and with Him is full redemption. I love that, because right there, the reason we should put our hope in the Lord is that He's the only one that always loves us. Always, always, always loves us. He never looks at us and says, you're worthless and you're a lost cause. That's not the way that God the Father's love is. The Bible says over and over again how He has everlasting love. This scripture says unfailing love. And with Him is full redemption. Oh, my word. Redemption means recovery, saving, or honoring. And with Him, there will be recovery. There will be saving. There will be honoring. And things will look different. Well, I don't know that for sure, but they can. I know at least they have in my life. But He will bring full redemption. And I'm not telling you something that I'm just reading this scripture from. I'm telling you something that I've depended on the Lord when there wasn't anything else to depend on. And I'm telling you something that's from my heart that I've lived as He's guided me through heartache and betrayal and disappointments in life. You know, I learned this as I came to put my hope in the Lord, and He guided me through life-threatening illnesses with people I love. So this is something I've lived, not just learned. And I think oftentimes we can just memorize a scripture or go to Sunday school or hear a good sermon, check the box, move along. But it's as we incorporate things into our everyday life, as we work it into the fabric of our being, that we really, really own it. And, you know, an awareness of His love, came as I poured out my heart in anguish and in despair and wondered how I'd survive. And it was that experience that has given me just a confidence in God and who He's going to be for me in all aspects. I want to read this psalm again to you, and I want to read it from the Passion Translation. It's a translation I've grown to love, and I love to just see what different scriptures say in that translation. But I'm going to read it to you. So just let these words wash over you. Just sit back and let the words wash over your heart. Lord, I cry out to you out of the depths of my despair. Hear my voice, O God. Answer this prayer and hear my plea for mercy. Lord, if you measured us and marked us with our sins, who would ever have their prayers answered? But your forgiving love is what makes you so wonderful. No wonder you are loved and worshiped. That's why I wait upon you, expecting your breakthrough, for your words bring me hope. I long for you more than any watchman would long for the morning light. I will catch and wait for you, watch and wait for you, O God, throughout the night. O Israel, keep hoping, keep trusting, keep waiting on the Lord, for He is tender-hearted, kind, and forgiving. He has 1,000 ways to set you free. He Himself will redeem you. He will ransom you from the cruel slavery of your sins. So to wrap up, let me encourage you to do these three things. Pour out your heart to God, just like the psalmist did. Keep your heart right, because hard times are hard enough and you don't have time to carry a heavy heart. And wait and put your hope in Him. Press into Him, bind yourself to Him. Cry out and hang on when you want to give up, reminding yourself of the truth in His Word. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your great love that gives us hope. And Lord, help our hearts to wait on you and put our expectancy in you. And help us to be a people that are quick to forgive, quick to look for the best in others. And Lord, help us to love like you do. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a good day.